Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. All right. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. I'm excited to have Deep Nair on. He's the founder and CTO of IoT 83. And really looking forward to our conversation here. And Deep, could you maybe introduce yourself and talk about your background a little bit and your company?
Yeah, absolutely, Dean. Thank you for that quick little introduction. So our journey has been very, I think, molded by what is happening in the industry all the time. So we started playing in telecommunication 20 years ago as it was getting transformed from the traditional PSTN world into the voice over IP and the mobile world. So we basically led that transition, and of late we actually looked at very converged networks where voice, video and applications needs to be running on the same network, so to speak. And we are experiencing that with Zoom. We were one of the initial pioneers of setting all of these technologies in play between networking and telecommunication. And now what we are trying to do is bring the same level of, I would say, technical depth to the OEM world as they move into the connected asset world and as they start facing the challenges of how a connected asset is so different than from an unconnected asset and how software actually pays the business going forward. So we have been trying to give a new software paradigm to them as part of IoT 83. It is funded by N83 Inc., which is the incubation house that we own. And one of the prominent investments that we have is in IoT 83 to do this paradigm shift for business optimization and transformation for the OEM world.
So what does that mean, like, to the OEM world transformation to IoT and connected assets? Like, what's the use case and what's the customer and what's the benefit that you give to them?
So yeah, let's take a very small use case. You have a temperature sensor at home, and now just by itself getting the data from a temperature sensor has very little meaning. You can get the data very easily. Now the two things starts to come with IoT and all. One is scale, that if you have to get this data from millions and millions of devices, what would be the cost per device? And how do you really understand what is at fault? You don't manage by norm, you manage by exception. So that's IoT inherently means scale on one end and keeping the cost economies in check. The second most important piece is whether that temperature is running in which environment. Is it looking at just a human temperature, a room temperature, or a temperature which has COVID medicines in it, or just food? So the context starts to become very important, and the variation of that starts to have a different impact on the overall value proposition for that environment, for that area. And it's very different. It's the same temperature sensing, but different value. So how do you get that value be easily transposed to the business side is the challenge for each OEM. And what we believe that the OEMs are so very differentiated from each other, though they work on the same physics model. If you are in refrigeration, the physics is the same, but the nitty-gritty details is very specific to that line of business, to that company, to that culture. And now the whole aspect starts to bring in that, how do you marry that to the connected world? And how do you, these cultures, which are very different pace, they basically bring together and bring together not just turbulence, but bring together some level of, I would say, flow, which is useful for everyone involved. Because the threat matrix will change, the value proposition would change, the salespeople mentality would change. They are not looking at big iron sale with 3 years book value. Now they are looking at subscription level change on top, and they have to work for every dollar earned rather than big iron sales that would bring in big dollars. So the whole paradigm is very different, and there are new technology S-curves that are bringing all of this together, majority of them being to talk about Industry 4.0 revolution, which is how they are handling their manufacturing flows. We talk about the entire e-commerce going into as a service business, so they need to basically give that to their end clients, either as a user base or transaction base or consumption base. So very different business models. You can go global any day. Your competitor is not just your physics guys, they are becoming your IT guys and everybody else as well. Because different merger and acquisition can quickly create different moats there. So the business is a lot more mobile, a lot more flexible, and a lot more vulnerable at the same time. So now as it's transitioning, how do you create these new moats, new lines of businesses driven by technology, but without losing your niche? So now you are not looking at spending dollars for running your business. You are actually spending dollars that is your business, which means you need to be in full control of that, which means they need IP ownership of every pixel that they are putting out on the web that there is being exposed to the user, just like every capacitor that they put on their board while they build their model, the physics, the assets. So it's unique to them. So that uniqueness, capturing that uniqueness is again unique. So you cannot have one thing fit all, right? So you need to make sure that it gets customized, and the cost of customization is not high. So it is like we build a transmission engine, we build, but that transmission engine now goes to different car manufacturers. Some builds minis on them, some mini trucks on them, but it's like you have created something valuable which is common for all, but gets customized for end user value. So the trick for software was, where is that line, how software was being developed before as layers. Now that layers needs to be divided up so that you are able to take out the commodity pieces and convert them into a platform so that the business gets a smaller percentage, but the value is in the business and the commodity just has a reducing, I would say, annuity-based conversion to that. So that allows business to have the budget space to work. So long answer to a short problem, but the entire thing is that when you're running from an 8 to 12% gross margin business, you do not have many leeways because software is a pit. You can throw as much money in it, but unless you tie it very closely to business, the value will not be attained that the OEM world wants to attain with industrial IoT and IoT in general as it plays out.
So who is your typical customer?
Typical customers are any equipment players who wants to build their connected model. Like it could be the likes of gateway providers who wants to give residential gateways to the likes of Verizon. It could be the likes of Eaton, who have a lot of hardware for different electrical equipment that goes into the data center. It could be companies like you see on our True Manufacturing, which are very specific in refrigerations and ice business. Then there could be like any asset from your run-of-the-mill refrigerators, chillers, UPSs, which is fans, even washing machines, smart bins. So anything that has connectivity, and it gives the asset health, becomes part of the ecosystem to maintain, operate, manage, optimize, and then be able to swap that easily.
Yeah, so I guess the reason why margins are so small, 8 to 12%, is because they are manufacturers of hardware and devices. Yeah. And then you're putting a software platform in place that can manage devices, manage by exception, as you said, to maintain, I guess, maintenance from a maintenance point of view. But then you also connect possibly e-commerce. And then I guess you could also have value add, as you started to allude to, where you can pull together data from many devices and add value to the end user or customer with pulling together data. I'm just assuming.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just think about it that if we were just capturing 10 years ago this call, we would probably write up minutes of the meeting, and that would be the textual data stored.
Yeah.
Today, you are storing real-time conversation of audio and video, which millions times more data to be stored, analyzed, and synthesized, right? Mm-hmm. This completely changes the paradigm, how you look at data and how you extract different information from the data. And also when that data starts to marry other data, it creates synthetic data. And now you are now it's becoming an exponential problem to solve.
Yeah.
And all of that needs to be like cents quickly adds up to dollars is what they say. Like you may end up doing more on compute first, but as your storage starts to grow, your storage cost starts to become more problematic than your compute costs. Right. So if you're looking at, oh, I need just if you at the start of your business, because it is very easy to say, I will keep 3 years worth of data. Now it just becomes 3 years worth of video data, audio data, summary data. What data?
A lot of data. A lot of data.
If you're not quantified that and the value of that, then data will soon drown you. Right.
Yeah.
And so data is the oil, but the actual value is in the contextualized data is what we say. If you cannot contextualize it to your business value, then data is probably will just going to drown you. It has little value, if not negative for you.
Yeah, I was surprised. My son actually works on tools for all the streaming data coming out of self-driving cars, and I was shocked how much data is coming out of it. And you can only, like what you say, capture the exceptions to keep that around, to do analysis and gain insight, because of the cost of all that and the amount of data is just mind-boggling. And so your platform probably helps out with that.
It's the same thing how brain works, right? Everything that the brain does is managed by exception and copy. Yeah. Right. So the interesting part is not in the normal, but in the entropy, and the rest of the thing continues to get optimized. And that's how AI, ML and industrial IoT play together. That's how industrial 4.0 and industrial IoT, AI, ML play together. And now things are going to become more distributed rather than centralized, whereas blockchain and crypto starts to play into these markets as well. So Web 2 and Web 3 starts to intersperse with each other and starts to create new value. Just the look at distribution of monies across the royalties chain. A problem that was like your book value in an OEM probably gets adjusted every 6 months to 9 months. That doesn't need to be like that. You're creating cash flow problems for 9 months. If money is getting distributed on an hourly basis, it makes everybody in the chain much happier and your cost of money is much less.
Yes.
So that's completely going to change how these worlds, as the world of e-commerce and the tech starts to collide with the OEM world.
So how do you guys use, like what are some of the ways you're using AI to benefit your clients or in your platform?
So for us, there are we see value in three different dimensions. The very first dimension is we as developers, as users of AI, like all the large language models and all, they have started to help you become better faster, because now you have the ability to not just get guidance, but you get good guidance because of the value that they have created. So it has become your coach and counselor, right? Just like what search gave you, it has given you senior management coaching and counseling on ability through a piece of LLM software, if you will, and it can get personalized to your training, right? And these things have been done all before, like when you are doing all the learning management systems, you were trying to build the learning management based on a constant feedback loop between the user and the system. And all of these test scenarios have been organized like that, right? So the same paradigm, but you have the ability to write better code, faster code, more productive. So that's one aspect. The same thing that brings us, that the product that we create, that our users will use, how that product needs to be used can become much easier. And a lot more people can use the product, not just the developers, the citizen developers, right? So their productivity in turn will be better, right? Now what they create will be used by the next layer hierarchy. So if we are 100 people creating something for an organization which is going to use, and that organization, instead of their 1,000 developers using it, their 6,000 overall company people starts to use it, you have created an exponential value prop. And now the next layer up is not just 6,000 or 100,000 owners of that equipment. It is like everybody who gets touched to that equipment, which will be a million. So it's like layering up exponentially. So that's what AI is going to bring to the system. So what we create creates the next level of value for the next chain. It creates the next level value for the next chain, and so on and so forth. And the mesh just continues to become more dense and more valuable, so to speak. It's like the same way as your left and right brain works. The more neurons connect to each other, the more intelligence you have, both emotional and otherwise, right? The IQ and the EQ starts to become a lot better. So that's what AI is going to bring to the actual human chain as it starts to operate with the connected asset world.
Yeah, it's interesting you say connected asset world. It's unbelievable how everything is connected now. And so I can imagine that, yeah, your platform could get insight into, I'm not sure some of your, maybe you could tell a story about how an innovation you guys or one of your customers did by having all these connected digital assets and pulling the data together to maybe, I don't know, threat detection in a home or in healthcare, like all the monitoring of people's vitals, or any interesting stories that you could share?
Yeah, so the main use case that people are all vying towards is predictive maintenance and anomaly detection at scale. And so we have been involved in a number of such programs which translates the company's field operations into a more, I would say, value-added field operations, where you can not just handle the current failure in a better manner, but be able to predict the failure and prevent it in the future as well. So thereby opening up a lot of capital that gets locked in this undeterministic chain, because it was out of your field vision. Now it is within your field vision, and the vision can operate on historic data as well as look at the forward marching data and make much better calls, thereby completely changing the way the business gets transacted, right? It will dissect, I would say, disrupt and dislodge all the existing business relationships, and then we'll rebuild all of them. And wherever the value gets extracted out, it will be either thrown back as savings, or it will be it will be then put back into the system for more value creation. It gives that budget space and business space, right? So those stories are a while, like from detecting the fire alarms and the number of people in the house during the fire alarm to how you operate your field operations, how you assist the field in terms of getting the right data, the right material, the right person, the skill set in the first go itself, how you can prevent your, how you can improve your customer service scores, how can you actually engage with them with better information, how you can correlate different information elements so that you can give better recommendations. So like those are the magic things that suddenly starts to come to life within the economic elasticity that this business of OEMs required them to be, so that it starts to have an impact on them. And yeah, that again drives back to that elasticity of the gross margin.
Yeah.
If they had 30 or 40%, we would have already seen this happening at not the, just the early adopters, but I think we would be in the mid-journey of this, wherever we have taken a lot of time just to get it past the early adopters. We are still in that zone today.
Early adopters? You're still in the early adopter zone?
Yeah, it's, I mean, early adopters in the sense that how do you actually make money out of it? Or how do you save money out of it?
Okay.
Like experience, knowing it is not business. Knowing it is a science project.
I wonder if I'm a big believer in the next 2 to 3 years, we'll really start to see real robots getting out into the market and even consumers. And now they can be intelligent because of the advances in LLMs. And do you see that as an opportunity for IoT? And then, you know, that creating some new demand there or?
Yes, means robotics is another level where part of our system, because it's data, it's mostly about data handling. So whether that is coming from the robotic systems or the warehousing systems the robot is managing, or a pharma company trying to put a drug out, or a telecommunication company trying to manage their assets, bandwidth assets, or financial house trying to do much better wealth management. All of these use cases can be built on the data platform that we offer. And so in some sense, we become agnostic to the environment and agnostic to the vertical. And so we call ourselves the kitchen, if you will. So everything is in the kitchen. What you want, you, the chef decides what needs to be created, and the chef creates what the owner decides what needs to be served. So on the same kitchen, you could be running a Korean home or an Indian buffet.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Yeah, so we try to see that the kitchen is fully equipped.
Very good. Now, what question that I didn't ask that you wish I would have asked?
I'll say if you can tell me when the tariffs are going to get finalized so that we can get past that. Or the wars will get done.
Everyone very heavily. I don't think it's going to be unstable for more than another 6 months myself. Speculation is all negotiation. And yeah, you just can't disrupt everyone's business. I have a lot of friends in manufacturing and import export owning companies, and they are not happy. And it's just not a healthy way to run businesses with uncertainty of your cost of goods. And eventually everyone's trying to hold back from impacting their customer and raising price, but if it stays long enough, they have to. I hope it's no more than 2 quarters, if not less than a quarter.
They're hoping the same. We call them the body blows. We got the COVID as a startup and self-funded. So these are like big body blows that we had to take, continue to survive, right?
It's really rough for everybody.
We are getting stronger each day, and we hope the macroeconomic, geopolitical thing settles down so we can get the micro things handled better.
Yeah, it has to. People can't keep operating, running businesses with such uncertainty. Yeah. So it really has to, one way or the other. Now, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you?
So I'm available at my first name dot last name deep.nair at 83inks.com or deep.nair at iot83.com. Plus, we are also available in the leadership contact us page on iot83.com.
Okay, great. Deep, thank you very much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dean. I hope you got what you were looking for. And good luck for the wedding. And
thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Yep.
Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot, post it to your favorite social platform, or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data-Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen, and if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida and Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.